and Graham Lotz.
There is no one like God, and you get to know him through the pages of your Bible, and you need to get to know God as he is, that you might have confidence and faith in him and him alone.
Welcome to this week's edition of Living in the Light with Bible teacher Ann Graham Lotz in this concluding message in her series, The Magnificent Obsession, focusing on the life of Abraham. If you've missed any of Ann's messages in this series, you can find them at anngrahamlotz.org. Here's Ann.
I see Abraham's confidence in God's person because he had been walking with God now for 40 years. And Abraham had come to know God. And he knew God's sufficiency to supply his need day in, day out for 40 years. And he knew God's mercy to save him when he had repeatedly failed down in Egypt and with Abimelech. And he knew God's grace to bless him in spite of his failure in Egypt and with Abimelech and with Hagar. And he knew God's love to be his shield and his reward and his friend. And he knew God's goodness to give him the very desire of his heart. Oh, he knew God. What's your opinion of God? What do you think God is like? Do you have confidence in his person? Or are you deep down afraid he might be like the legalistic pastor you had when you were growing up? Or an abusive father? Or an overbearing spouse? And God is not like your pastor. And he's not like your father. And he's not like your spouse. There is no one like God. And you get to know him through the pages of your Bible. And you need to get to know God as he is, that you might have confidence and faith in him and him alone. You'll never trust him with your Isaac. You'll never lay your life down. You'll never give him that most precious possession if you don't have confidence in who he is. And Abraham was totally confident in who God is. Hebrews says in chapter 11, verse 6, you must believe that he is as he is revealed in Scripture. Not as somebody says he might be or somebody thinks he might be or the way you were taught when you were raised, which might be all wrong for all I know. God is as he has revealed himself through his word, and he is exactly as he has revealed himself through Jesus. You want to know what God is like? You just look at Jesus. And Abraham was confident in God's person. He was confident in God's promise. And I'm reading into this also a little bit, but God had promised Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you a seed. And God had. He'd given him Isaac. And God had also said that through this seed, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And one of your descendants will be one through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Abraham was totally confident that God would keep his promise because God had sworn by himself and he had walked through those pieces of that sacrifice. And he said, Abraham, you can know that you know that you know I'm going to fulfill my promise because I swear by myself. And Abraham was totally confident in the promise of God that God had given him a son, and his son wasn't married. You understand? So he didn't have any grandchildren. There were no descendants, not even some that were as numerous as the Milky Way or something. No descendants after Isaac at all. And so he was confident when he went up to sacrifice Isaac that somehow God was going to keep his promise. And not only was he confident in God's promise, but he was confident in God's power. Look at this, and this is where I also see the confidence in his promise. Verse 5, when he told the servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. And then, look at this, we will come back. Abraham, have you misunderstood? Are you not thinking clearly? You're going to go up on Mount Moriah. You're going to gather the stones. You're going to put the wood on the top. You're going to strap Isaac down. You're going to take the knife. You're going to kill your son. You're going to offer him as a burnt offering. How can you say you and the boy are going to come back? What are you thinking? And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 tells us exactly what Abraham was thinking. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned. So right there I see Abraham's confidence in God's promise. Then look at this. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Whoa. Now that's confidence. Confidence in God's person, in God's promise, in God's power. Abraham was going up on that mountain to sacrifice everything to God, and he was totally expecting. He was going to experience the fullness of God's power in a way he never, ever had before, and that God would raise his son from the dead. And you know, it's at that place of sacrifice. It's when you lay everything down, and it's when you choose to totally die to yourself. That's when the life comes. That's when you begin to experience the power of God in your life. That's when the blessing flows. And so when you go to lay down everything and you sacrifice everything to God, you can do it with confidence and expectancy of experiencing God in a new, fresh, powerful way. Are you focused on what you're going to be laying down? Instead, would you focus on what God's going to give you in response? Remember, after the cross comes the resurrection and the glory and the power and the crown. Abraham sacrificed absolutely, confidently, and lastly, triumphantly. And this just struck me last week as I was meditating on this passage, and I've given this long time ago several times, and I've redone it all, but what hit me last week was that this was not the sacrifice of Isaac. It was the sacrifice of Abraham. And I see Abraham laying everything down as he chooses to die to himself. And I see him dying to his own thinking. In verse 6, when he took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went on together, you know, I feel like he has just died to his own thoughts. I don't think his mind was in turmoil. Oh, God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And what's Sarah going to say? And how am I going to handle seeing my son dead on the altar? And I just can't believe I've gotten myself into this. And God, what about my descendants? And this is destroying my vision for the future. And I can't believe what I'm giving. I think his mind was just quiet. And he had so died to his own thoughts and his own thinking that, you know, a dead man doesn't think. They have no thoughts. And I think Abraham was just a dead man. He had no thoughts of his own at this point. So I think he died to his own thoughts, and I think he died to his own feelings, his emotions. Verse 7, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, you think Abraham had been dreading this moment? You know, Isaac is between 15 and 20 years of age, we think. He had been the only child in Abraham's home at least 10 years or more. He knew his father very well. And so I wonder if he had noticed that the lines in Abraham's face were a little deeper, and his shoulders were a little bit more stooped, and his gait was a little slower, and he sensed the heaviness in his father, and he knew something was up. Did Isaac suspect that he was the sacrifice? Can you imagine the pain that would have cost Abraham to know that his son knew what he was getting ready to do? And that's where I see Abraham just dying to his own feelings. A dead man doesn't feel. And Abraham just dying to what he felt and what he might have felt if he had had feelings of his own. And so he answered, yes, my son. Verse 7, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, knowing that his son, I believe he knew, Isaac was suspecting what was going to take place. And the King James says it better. God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham just died to his own feelings. And then I couldn't think of how to describe this, but I think he died next, not only to his thinking and his feeling, but he died to his blessing. All the blessing of God, everything God had promised to give him, was wrapped up in Isaac. And he was taking the very gifts of God in his life. He was taking the very blessing of God and his idea of what the blessing would be and his picture of how the blessing would be worked out in his life, and he took it and he laid Isaac on the altar. And I see him dying even to his expectation of what the blessing would be. So when he reached the place God had told him, Abraham built the altar and he arranged the wood on it and he bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the woods. And he just gave God the blessing that God had given him. And he took the knife to slay his son. And I believe in Abraham's mind and in his emotions and in his will, the sacrifice was made. He fully intended to plunge that knife down. And he had laid everything on the altar. And in doing so, he had totally died to himself. And I think it's very similar to what Paul describes in Galatians 2:20. When Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm a dead man. But the life physically I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's what the Apostle John experienced on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1 when he saw Jesus in all of his glory. And John said, I fell at his feet as though dead, totally silent, no longer arguing with him about what he's going to do in my life, and no longer giving excuses for my sin, and no longer defending my behavior, and no longer telling him how to answer my prayers or what doors of opportunity I want to open, just silent and still. The dead man is still. And no longer was John wrestling with God's will for his life, and God, why did you put me on Patmos? And if you'll get me off Patmos, then I'll serve you. And no longer telling God how he wanted to live out his life, just silent and still, just a dead man, crucified with Christ. And Abram at this point, with Isaac bound on the altar and with the knife raised, Abraham has died to himself. Just a dead man. Have you ever reached that point when you would lay everything down on the altar at the cross, at the feet of Jesus? Lay down your thinking, your thoughts, your intellect, your reasoning. Lay down your feelings, your heart, your emotions, your loving. And you lay down the very blessings that God has given you. Your gifting, your ministry, all the things that God would give to you. You know, when you come to him in prayer and you have your shopping list, you just lay it all down. God, if you never give me a thing, if you never answer my prayer, if you never solve my problem, if you never settle my financial distress, if you never reconcile me with that person, God, I just choose to lay it all down at your feet. It's an act of worship. I just give you myself. And Abraham, having followed through, I think, with the full intent of his will, now is called to sacrifice his doing. An angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate Son of God, leaned out of heaven. Verse 11, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham was still available. Here I am. And that's where I see him sacrificing his doing. Because otherwise he would have said, God, just a minute, you know, you told me to sacrifice my son. I'm on assignment. I'm busy right now. In just a minute, then I'll listen to you and see what you have to say. If he had plunged that knife down, can you imagine the mess he would have made? But instead, he has totally died to himself. He has nothing he wants to do on his own, so he can plunge the knife down or he can leave it raised. He can stay there, he can go back home. He's just totally flexible before the Lord. And that's something I long for in my life. To be able to be flexible and go as the Spirit leads me, not being random and not being, you know, sort of silly about it. And people can get really silly and very undisciplined when they say they're just following the Spirit and it's just because they're doing whatever they feel like doing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being so sensitive to the Spirit that I know when to stop and I know when to plunge, even at the last minute. In response to God's command, and to set aside my agenda, even if it's an agenda I felt God had given me. We have to be disciplined or we won't get it done, but within that I want to be flexible and give God opportunity to move. Praise God. Abraham sacrificed even his doing. He wasn't so locked into what God had said that he wasn't free to hear from God again. Are you so locked into what God has already said that you're not free to keep on listening? and opening up your Bible every day and listening to his voice. He may say something to you today, something tomorrow that's the same, something tomorrow, the next day that's the same, and the next day he may have something different to tell you. And this year he may want you teaching children in Sunday school, and next year he may want you teaching a men's Bible class, and the next year he may want it to be a Bible study in your office, and the next year it may be a neighborhood prayer group. And you know, God can say different things at different times in our lives. Are you going to listen to him? Or do you think he always says the same thing? And Abraham sacrificed his doing, my activity, God, I give it to you. And if you want me to do this moment and something else the next moment, God, I'm just yours. Give me your commands. Thank God Abraham listened. Abraham was sacrificing triumphantly, dying as he made the sacrifice and dying as God accepted the sacrifice when God came to him and said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son." In other words, Abraham, I know that you love me more than what I've given you, that you want to know me more than you want to have the gifts I give you in your life. And God knew it before even that sacrifice. But I think Abraham needed to know it. And God had tested him. God doesn't need us to pass the test to know that we're going to pass the test. God's omniscient. He knows everything. He tests us for our own strength, for our own resolve, for our own growth, for our own maturity. And as he tests us and we pass the test, it draws us closer to his heart. And we go deeper in our faith and we soar higher in our relationship with him. And God says, "Now I know that you know, that we know that you love me more than anything. Because you've not withheld your most precious possession. You've not withheld your alabaster box. You've not withheld from me your Isaac, your son, your only son." And as God accepted his sacrifice, he provided, just as he said he would. In verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket was a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And I wonder, as he untied Isaac and Isaac climbed off the altar, did he put his arms around the neck of that ram and just thank God for the ram that died in his place? No wonder if Abraham put his arms around his boy and thank God for that ram too. And when we come to the place of sacrifice and we lay everything down, you're not giving God anything more than what he's given you. It was on the mountain, it says, where provision will be made. And it was on Calvary where God provided himself a lamb for the offering. And we can put our arms around his neck and say, "God, thank you for providing the lamb who died in my place." And God, as he accepted the sacrifice, giving him the ram to die in Isaac's place, you hear the applause of heaven. "Abraham, well done, well done, well done." He says in verse 16, "I will surely bless you. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I'll give you descendants like the stars of the sky. I'll send through your descendants a seed through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed." People are going to see Jesus in your life. Oh, Abraham, well done. And you have the blessing of God in your life. Listen to me. When you lay everything down, if you want to know what you get in response, what could be more than having God provide for you a lamb and then pour out the blessing of heaven in your life? And when you choose to embrace the magnificent obsession and you choose to know him and make him known and receive his blessing that you might be a channel of blessing, and you've left everything behind and you've let everything go, and you've cast everything out and you've trusted everything completely and you've lifted everything up and you've laid everything down, what you get is God himself and the blessing of heaven. And why would you and I do something like that? Why would we give him everything, nothing held back? Why would we give him our thinking and our feeling and our doing and our blessings and the gifting and the ministry and our lives? And why would we give him our bodies as a living sacrifice and our children and our homes and our churches and all our involvements, and we hold nothing back from him And we just lay it all down at the foot of the cross. We give him everything. He is our magnificent obsession because you are his magnificent obsession. Did you know that? He left everything behind and let everything go in his heavenly home to come down to give himself completely without reservation for you. Follow with me, just listen. 2,000 years after Abraham laid everything down on the altar, sacrificed his most precious possession, his alabaster box, another father laid all he had on the altar. And the father is God. And the son, the only son, the son whom the father loved, the alabaster box of heaven, was the son, was Jesus. And the father took the wood of the cross and he laid it on the shoulders of his son, and he took the fire and the knife, and both went together up Calvary in order that God might provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And they came together to Calvary, and the father arranged the wood of the altar in the shape of a cross. And he bound his son with nails, and he laid him on that altar, and his son, who was well able to resist, said, "The cup that the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" He knew what the Father was going to do. And then the Father reached out his hand, and he took the knife of the fierceness of his wrath against sin to slay his son. And there was no voice from heaven that said, "Don't do it." And he took the knife of the fierceness of his wrath against your sin and my sin, and he plunged it in to his son, and he freely gave him up for us all. The reason we lay everything down for him is because, bottom line, he has laid everything down for me and for you. And it's an act of worship. As we end our filling up to overflow, and after you've made the choices that you have, if we've gone through, would you make the decision to pursue the magnificent obsession, embrace it by pursuing knowledge of God and making him known, by receiving the fullness of his blessing that you might be a blessing? And in order to do that, would you take the final step and lay everything down?
Now here's Anne with this final word.
Abraham didn't just embrace the magnificent obsession of a God-filled life. He actually experienced it. Abraham knew God. And you can experience the God-filled life too. Abraham had emphatically confirmed, once and for all, that his obsession with knowing God was a magnificent obsession that lasted a lifetime. God meant more to Abraham than any gift or blessing he'd ever received, including his most precious possession, his only son. The blessing Abraham longed for more was God himself. Abraham had made the choice and left everything behind. He had kept the commitment and let everything go. Now he laid everything down to embrace God. As a result, God called Abraham his friend. That's the challenge God gave me from the study of Abraham's life. And that's the challenge I pass on to you. Choose to be the friend of God. Embrace knowing God and making him known. Embrace his blessing that you might be a blessing. Embrace all God has for you. Don't miss out on a thing. Embrace the magnificent obsession. Why? Because, wonder of wonders, you are his magnificent obsession. He left behind the glory of heaven for you. He let go his rights for you. He laid down his life for you. Because he loves you and desires you to know him as his intimate friend. So, leave everything behind. Let everything go. Lay everything down. Embrace a God-filled life. Embrace God.
You can hear Living in the Light with Anne Graham Lotz weekly. And for ways to experience the God-filled life as you pursue your personal Bible study, go to annegrahamlotz.org. She'll help you get started with free resources you can use and share with others. Join us here each week for Living in the Light.